Dreamtime Alice. Written by Mandy Sayer and read by Casey Withers. In the evenings, we pushed our red shopping stroller along the 5-minute walk from our hotel to Columbus Avenue, where crowned dining tables spilled out onto open terraces and tall mannequins in tight black dresses stared down at us through plate glass and neon. It was in New York, I decided, that we would be successful. It was there that we would work every evening until the crowds drifted away after midnight. It was there that we would have lots of glorious fun and return home with bags of money. There that we would live out the long, warm nights that would later complete the repertoire of my father's stories, a repertoire of which I longed to be a part. If only I could have been as funny as his mate Sean Casey, who drove a car right through the front door of a hotel on his way to a gig, crawled out unscathed and said, "Park it." If only I could have played an alto sax like Rolf Pommer and made my father swoon and cry out as he dragged wire brushes across the skin of his snare. If only I could have been as eccentric as Frank Smith, or as witty as Edwin Duff, or as talented as Tony Kirby, maybe I wouldn't have had to come halfway round the world to dress each night in a set of tails and follow him into the bright lights to find an empty street corner. To merit a place in his life, I knew I had to create a grand role for myself, something that would sound good, say, after the Maxine Cabaret story. When he was 14, he'd creep out of his bedroom window at night and catch a train and a bus down to a nightclub called Ollie Ward's Maxine Cabaret, across the road from Centennial Park. It was 1934. The pubs all closed at 6 p.m. The club was full of underworld figures and Dixieland music. He fell deeply in love with the muffled sounds he heard pressing through the walls and found he could enter the building through an opening called the Sly Grog Hole. He'd hide backstage every night and listen to the music until Ollie Ward herself, a big matronly woman who also ran a brothel upstairs, found him cowering behind some broken bar stools and ended up giving him his first job when the regular drummer was too drunk to play. I was going to come right after that, in my white stockings and red tap shoes, up there in the Jerry Sayer Hall of Fame, along with his musician mates and flamboyant theatre friends, who were always immersed in some hilarious tragedy, and who were the only people he ever really seemed to love. My mother had failed him by crawling off the back of his Manx Norton racing motorbike, hanging up her leather jacket and helmet, and wanting to get married. For 3 years she had sat on the back of that bike while he, always a little drunk, squeezed at the throttle and tore across the countryside towards some jam session down the coast, or careened around city street corners between gigs and backstage parties.